everywhere, in the shops and in people's houses, with candles or nightlights inside them or strung up. Very interesting, really. But it wasn't for a Halloween party, it was Thanksgiving. Now, I've always associated pumpkins with Halloween, and that's the end of October. Thanksgiving comes much later, doesn't it? Isn't it November? About the third week in November? Anyway, here, Halloween is definitely the 31st of October, isn't it? First Halloween, then what comes next? All Souls' Day? That's when in Paris you go to cemeteries and put flowers on graves. Not a sad sort of feast. I mean, all the children go too and enjoy themselves. You go to flower markets first and buy lots and lots of lovely flowers. Flowers never look so lovely as they do in Paris in the market there. A lot of busy women were falling over Mrs. Oliver occasionally, but they were not listening to her. They were all too busy with what they were doing. They consisted for the most part of mothers, one or two competent spinsters. They were useful teenagers, boys of 16 and 17, climbing up ladders or standing on chairs to put decorations, pumpkins or vegetable marrows or brightly coloured witch balls at a suitable elevation. Girls from 11 to 15 hung about in groups and giggled. "And after All Souls' Day and cemeteries," went on Mrs. Oliver, lowering her bulk onto the arm of a settee, "you have All Saints' Day, I think I'm right?" Nobody responded to this question. Mrs. Drake, a handsome middle-aged woman who was giving the party, made a pronouncement. "I'm not calling this a Halloween party, although, of course, it is one, really. I'm calling it the 11-plus party. It's that sort of age group. Mostly people who are leaving the Elms and going on to other schools."
"Oh, but that's not very accurate, Rowena, is it?" said Miss Whittaker, resetting her pince-nez on her nose disapprovingly.
Miss Whittaker, as a local schoolteacher, was always firm on accuracy.
"Because we've abolished the 11-plus some time ago."
Mrs. Oliver rose from the settee apologetically.
"I haven't been making myself useful. I've just been sitting here saying silly things about pumpkins and vegetable marrows."
"And resting my feet," she thought, with a slight pang of conscience, but without sufficient feeling of guilt to say it aloud.
"Now, what can I do next?" she asked, and added, "What lovely apples!"
Someone had just brought a large bowl of apples into the room. Mrs. Oliver was partial to apples.
"Lovely red ones," she added.
"They're not really very good," said Rowena Drake.
"But they look nice and partified. That's for bobbing for apples. They're rather soft apples, so people will be able to get their teeth into them better. Take them into the library, will you, Beatrice? Bobbing for apples always makes a mess with the water slopping over, but that doesn't matter with the library carpet, it's so old. Oh, thank you, Joyce."
Joyce, a sturdy 13-year-old, seized the bowl of apples. Two rolled off it and stopped as though arrested by a witch's wand at Mrs. Oliver's feet.
"You like apples, don't you?" said Joyce.
"I read you did. Or perhaps I heard it on the telly. You're the one who writes murder stories, aren't you?"
"Yes," said Mrs. Oliver.
"We ought to have made you do something connected with murders. Have a murder at the party tonight and make people solve it."
"No, thank you," said Mrs. Oliver. "Never again."
"What do you mean, never again?"
"Well, I did once, and it didn't turn out much of a success," said Mrs. Oliver.
"But you've written lots of books," said Joyce. "You make a lot of money out of them, don't you?"
"In a way," said Mrs. Oliver, her thoughts flying to the Inland Revenue.
"And you've got a detective who's a Finn."
Mrs. Oliver admitted the fact. A small, stolid boy, not yet, Mrs. Oliver would have thought, arrived at the seniority of the 11-plus, said sternly,
"Why a Finn?"
"I've often wondered," said Mrs. Oliver truthfully.
Mrs. Hargreaves, the organist's wife, came into the room breathing heavily and bearing a large green plastic pail.
"What about this?" she said, "for the apple bobbing. Kind of gay, I thought."
Miss Lee, the doctor's dispenser, said,
"Galvanized bucket's better. Won't tip over so easily."
"Where are you going to have it, Mrs. Drake?"
"I thought the bobbing for apples had better be in the library. The carpet's old there, and a lot of water always gets spilled anyway."
"All right. We'll take them along. Rowena, here's another basket of apples."
"Let me help," said Mrs. Oliver.
She picked up the two apples at her feet. Almost without noticing what she was doing, she sank her teeth into one of them and began to crunch it. Mrs. Drake abstracted the second apple from her firmly and restored it to the basket. A buzz of conversation broke out.
"Yes, but where are we going to have the snapdragon?"
"You ought to have the snapdragon in the library. It's much the darkest room."
"No, we're going to have that in the dining room."
"We'll have to put something on the table first."
"There's a green baize to put on that, and then the rubber sheet over it."
"What about the looking glasses? Shall we really see our husbands in them?"